I invite you to take your Bible out this morning. Turn with me to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles in chapter 26. 2 Chronicles 26. My plan, my hope, is to return to our study of the Gospel of John next week as we pick that up in the high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus in chapter 17. But this morning, as we begin a new year, I thought 2 Chronicles 26 had a lot for us to think about this morning as we look at two chapters and one legacy. That is, two chapters of one life and one legacy left. It's the story of Uzziah. I remember reading my Bible, it was a couple years ago, and coming upon 2 Chronicles 26, and it's just one of those times where it just hit me. And then and now, I just would love to share with you some of the things that have been on my heart and that we learn in this chapter. So 2 Chronicles chapter 26, beginning at verse 1. And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. He went out and made war against the Philistines and broke through the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabna and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities in the territory of Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gerbel and against the Meunites. The Ammonites paid tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread even to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the angle and fortified them. And he built towers in the wilderness and cut out many cisterns, for he had large herds both in the Shephelah and in the plain. And he had farmers and vine dressers in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of soldiers fit for war in divisions according to the numbers in the muster made by Jeiel the secretary and Maasa the officer, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's commanders. The whole number of the heads of fathers' houses of mighty men of valor was 2,600. Under their command was an army of 307,500, who could make war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows, and stones for slinging. In Jerusalem, he made machines invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and great stones. And his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. But Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor, and they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah was angry. Now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and when he became angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priests in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried to go out because the Lord had struck him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and being a leper, lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's household, governing the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, wrote. And Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the burial field that belonged to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. And Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but his word abides forever. Well, yesterday, I preached at the funeral of a former member of our former church in Alto and a friend, Art Bosher, who was 84 years old. And Art will be remembered for his selfless service for other people. Just incredible, contagious, especially as he reached out to a young man with cognitive disabilities and special needs named Carl. Apparently, when Art first met Carl, Carl was a very quiet guy. His parents were told really suppressed his potential and didn't allow him to really do much outside of the house until Art got involved in his life and began pouring himself into Carl. And the transformation in Carl from what he used to be to what he became was just wonderful to see. And it could be attributed largely to Art's care and Art's love and his intentionality. Carl got his own apartment. Carl was working a regular job. Carl became a member of our church. Carl then quickly rose up the ranks to head usher and really was flourishing at the church. But it wasn't always this way for Art Bosher. He had been spiraling out of control in a former season of his life, succumbing to addiction to various things. And it was very dark and very hard and very lonely until the Lord did a miraculous work and transformed Art. So that Art's story really became one of two different chapters, the years and the decades where he was in darkness, followed by the last 20 or 30 years where he was living in the light and in the glory and the joy of the gospel. And what's interesting is that he will be remembered not for that first chapter, but for the last chapter, which is the very opposite of what we find in our text with King Uzziah. He also, you could say, lived two chapters, but what started out remarkably well ended remarkably tragic. I suppose all of this has got me thinking about my life up to this point, but especially my life going forward. How will I finish? What will be my last legacy? If legacy is shaped by how one begins, but is largely determined and cemented by how one finishes, what trajectory am I on? And how will 2022 help determine that for me and for you and for us? Which is why I think this text is incredibly relevant for us today. And I want to look at it in its two chapters, in its two sections or parts, the parts of Uzziah's own life, beginning with his spectacular rise, and then we'll consider his devastating ruin. So first, the first part of his life, his spectacular rise. Let's consider its context, its character, and its cause. In terms of its context, the chronicler informs us that Uzziah begins this reign at the tender age of 16 years old. This was the year 792 BC. His reign overlapped with the prophetic ministry of Isaiah, and it lasted 52 years. And so he started out at 16, and he finished at age 68. Those to whom he originally wrote, those, that is, who was first hearing this word, were the survivors and returnees from exile in Babylon. But the Jerusalem and the promised land and the temple to which they returned was a shell of its former self. The new temple was nothing like the original. Nothing in the promised land felt the same. The old glory was gone. It was sort of like when I visited my alma mater, Covenant College, a few years after graduating. And the hall that I used to live on had lost its magic. People didn't know who I was, and I didn't know most of them either. It was gone, the glory. And the people of Israel, in this time, hearing this word from the chronicler, are asking questions like, will God ever remember us again? Will his glory ever return? Now, the literary context in chapter 25 is this, that Uzziah's dad, Amaziah, fell hard and headlong into idolatry, made civil war with Israel to the north, and was defeated. So when chapter 26 opens, Judah had its proverbial tail between its legs and were without a king. Enter Uzziah. Now, what does a 16-year-old do when he's given the keys to the sports car? Well, I guess it depends on the kid. I would know what most 16-year-old boys would do, at least. But in this case, Uzziah, whether it was his idea or the idea of those around him, he essentially gets himself a mentor. What stands out immediately to me is not so much this young king's skill set or his charisma or his political acumen, but what really stands out to me about Uzziah in his early years is his teachability. His teachability. The fact that he devotes himself early on to the right things. Listen to what it says, verse 5. He set himself, he resolved to seek God in the days of Zechariah, notice, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Young people, middle schoolers, high schoolers, college students, those in the military, who's mentoring you? Who are you watching? Who are you learning from? Who are you paying attention to? Hopefully, by God's grace, mom and dad, if you have a mom and dad who love the Lord, are setting a godly example for you. But there's also the church. And by God's grace, we have the privilege of being a part of the body of Christ here. And there's lots of people to whom we can learn from and pay attention to. In fact, research has shown that the kids that grow up and leave their home and go to college and become adults often will not leave the faith if a couple of things are true. One, they have at least one parent who is modeling for them Christian growth. And number two, if they have been connected as a high schooler or young person to some other adult in addition to mom and dad, in their local church. When that's happening, when there's multi-generational discipleship, then statistics are showing, of course, it doesn't always happen like that, that kids are less likely to wander off or to walk away. There needs to be that covenantal community where we're learning and we're listening to those who are older and wiser. And so, who are you watching? Who's teaching you? Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." Part of the deception of youthfulness is the false notion that you already know it all, especially if you're walking around with a little computer in your pocket. But wisdom and the fear of God cannot be Googled. It needs to be seen in the flesh and blood relationships with other godly people. Over and over again in the Proverbs, he's repeatedly calling us out to heed the instruction of others, of our father, of our mother, of those among us. The fool despises advice. In other words, he is not teachable. Whereas the wise listens to rebuke. The wise listens to advice. And this isn't just a youth problem. This is a sin problem when we play the part of the fool, when we don't want to be told what to do. But Uzziah, early on, is teachable. He didn't allow his high position to get to his head, at least not yet. You can sort of picture Uzziah sitting down with Zechariah, maybe getting coffee weekly or having breakfast with him, studying the scriptures, talking about life from a God-centered worldview. And everything that he did prospered. Entire nations were defeated under his leadership. He invented cutting-edge technology. He was a wildly successful entrepreneur. He assembled an army that was almost unmatched, and as a result, his fame spread to the ends of the earth. But why? I think the chronicler wants you and me to see this. What was the cause of all this blessing, all of these military and technological and political successes? Look at verse 15. There it is in color, you might say. For he was what? Marvelously helped by God, by Zechariah, by the skill of other people. In other words, Uzziah was surrounded by resources, by the gifts of others, by the kindness of God. 1 Corinthians 4:7, Paul says, "What do you have that you did not receive?" And then, if you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Early on, Uzziah sought after God. Why? Presumably because he knew he was young and inexperienced. He knew that he was in over his head. So he met with Zechariah regularly to read his Bible. He was teachable. He kept learning, and the Lord was with him. And that's the posture that you're invited to have as well, regardless of your age or your position. There's not a single person here who's graduated from the need to be mentored, from the need to learn from others. Whether that's meeting with someone one-on-one in the church or brothers in arms or participating in youth group or young adults or Bible studies or small groups or times of prayer. Because as soon as we think we're something, that we've figured it all out, that we're above failing, or that we have all the right answers, or we've arrived because of our hard work or education or background, is exactly when we're most vulnerable to crash. As Paul says elsewhere, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. And so it is a warning to us. This is exactly what happens to this king. After his wonderful rise, we see, secondly, his devastating ruin. His devastating ruin. The question is, how does this happen? How does someone go from being grounded and humbled and laser-focused to a man who just seems to forget everything? Well, it begins with his own self-deception. Perhaps all the accolades, the adulation, and the attention eventually got to Uzziah's head. Says Alistair Begg, somewhere along the line, he stopped being a learner. Somewhere along the line, he became just the disperser of information. He was the one who knew the answers. He was the one who had sought God. After all, look how successful he was. There was no one as blessed as he. He had influence beyond the borders of the country. He walked around and everybody knew. But somewhere in the secret place, somewhere in there, in Uzziah's core, there was a deviation from course. And this can happen to anyone. Not just to those who are up front. It can happen to any heart. Because we're so easily self-deceived, slowly and subtly we can wander off and we forget about the wonder of grace that saved us or the power of the flesh that is still living inside of us. And if we've had a measure of success and prosperity, we can begin thinking that it's because we've worked so hard to attain it. Or if, comparing ourselves to others, we decide we're not as successful, then we can allow ourselves to become bitter and envious. But either way, it's all about us. It's all about pride. I want you to see what our passage says and take note. At the end of verse 15 and into verse 16, we see it. Notice this. It says of Uzziah, and his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. When he was strong and became puffed up, it destroyed him. His self-deception leads to unfaithfulness. He stopped caring about what God thought and what God said. He began ignoring the basics. He stopped thinking vertically. He became sovereign over his own kingdom. He did what was best for him. So he enters the temple to burn incense on the altar. No big deal, right? Except that this was meant only for the priests. You see what's happening. He has become a king to himself. Apart from God, apart from God's authority, apart from anyone's accountability. Then Azariah the priest, who exercises extreme courage in this place, confronts him, takes others with him. Verse 18, they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God." Now was Uzziah's chance. Would that teachability, that teachable spirit come back? Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." So who is Uzziah now, wise or foolish? Because that's the question that matters now, not what he was years before, but who is he today? Well, verse 19 answers it for us when it says, "Then Uzziah was angry." How dare you tell me what to do? Do you have any idea who I am? Remember the saying that says anger is a signal that an idol is being poked. What makes you angry? What makes me angry? When God's glory is transgressed, or when your glory, your kingdom, your comfort is transgressed? How do we react when a spouse confronts us about our sin? Do we get self-defensive, high and mighty? Do we blow up? Do we make excuses? How do you respond, young person, when mom or dad calls you out for your sin? Do you huff and puff? Do you throw a fit? How about when a brother or sister in the church gently points out a pattern that they see in us, loves us enough to tell us about it? How do we respond? Do we ignore them? Do we take revenge on them? Whose kingdom do we actually want to come? Alistair says, when you become as powerful and successful as Uzziah, you can start thinking that you're accountable to no one. That's a good test of humility. How well do you respond to correction? Do you examine your heart before God and admit it if you're wrong? Or are you angry and defensive? He decided that the rules no longer applied to him. He was the king. Maybe some of you think, I'm the father. I'm the husband. Maybe we can be tempted to think, well, I'm the elder. Don't you know who I am? Did you know my position? All of us are under the authority of God. All of us are accountable. And especially those in leadership will give an account. Well, what happened as a result? Its conclusion is one of the most tragic endings one could possibly have. He didn't listen. He became angry. Verse 19, now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and when he became angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priest in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried to go out because the Lord had struck him. And King Uzziah was a leper in the day of his death, and being a leper, lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's household, governing the people of the land. And then eventually he, like every other human being, died. The question is, what legacy is Uzziah remembered for? Those early years where everything he touched turned to gold, where he prospered significantly? Well, no, the tombstone over his life reads, verse 23, and Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the burial field that belonged to the kings, for they said, here it is, here's honest tombstone, he is a leper. What legacy are you building? What will you and I be remembered for? Some of you are in the second half of your story. How will you finish? Did you start out well, but somewhere along the way, along the line, you started to drift? You made a credible profession of faith. Your love for Jesus was sincere, but somewhere, somehow, you stopped seeking God. You stopped, you ceased to be teachable. You decided that you'd graduated already from all of that, and now you have the right answers. And you stopped asking others to pray for you and your heart and your sins, and you stopped being accountable. Or maybe you're just getting started. You're young. The question is, are you teachable? Are you seeking the fear of the Lord? Are you seeking to surround yourself with people who are godlier than you are? What if we're here this morning, whether young or old, and we now perhaps realize that when we read about Uzziah, it's like we're looking into the mirror. Is there any hope for people like that? There is, but it depends on how we respond to God's word. If we respond the way that Uzziah responded, then this could be our legacy. He had the opportunity. He was confronted by people that loved him. He said, this isn't right what you're doing. But he ignored them. He thought he was too good. He thought he was above them. But this episode reminds me of another king. King of Judah. Who had a lot of privilege and success and blessing. Things were going really well for him as well. And then one day he saw a woman bathing on the roof. And you know how the story goes. But he was confronted too, wasn't he? Nathan, his friend, confronted him. And what did David do? David didn't get angry. He did get angry, actually righteously, because of the story that was told. But when he realized that he was talking about him, he didn't throw around his position. He didn't remind Nathan, by the way, I'm the king. I don't know if you've noticed that. He was broken. He was broken. And as he said in Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And what I find remarkable about the story of King David is that he was called in the end. What? What was his legacy? The guy that slept with another man's wife, the guy that had the husband killed, what was his legacy? A man after God's own heart. Why? What's the difference in the stories? Uzziah didn't repent. David did. He allowed the word of God to break his stony heart. And then in his brokenness, he gave himself to God fully. And the Lord used him and restored to him the joy of his salvation. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you've wandered off and you're wondering, is there any way back home? And there is. But it's through repentance and faith. But if you will humble yourself, and if I will humble myself under God's authority, then our legacy as well will be one of, there is a man, there is a woman, there is a boy or girl after God's own heart. Far from perfect, full of sin, and yet pursuing the glory of God and his kingdom. Let's be warned, but let's be encouraged and invited to go to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect elder brother who died on the cross for sinners like David and like us. Let's pray together. Lord in heaven, we thank you for your word from Genesis to Revelation. And Lord, I thank you for those times when we're reading our Bibles and we get struck with just something profound and personal. Something that you knew we needed to hear at just that time, that moment. Lord, we're more like Uzziah than unlike him, regardless of our position. We don't like others telling us things, even if it's true. But I pray, O Lord, that we would not play the part of the fool, but that you would humble us and give us true wisdom, that in this year ahead we would, Lord, walk under your authority and under your word and your gospel, that we would invite others, Lord, to speak into our lives, that we would make ourselves accountable to those who know us and love us and can encourage us and at times, if necessary, even rebuke us. Lord, we thank you that you've not left us on our own as orphans, but that you've given us your word and you've given us the church. You've given us the Holy Spirit who leads and guides and convicts. And you've especially given us our Lord Jesus Christ, who is at your right hand, ever living to make intercession for us, Lord. For like Peter, we often fall and fail. No matter how committed our resolve might be different, Lord, we're so weak. And so we pray that we would humble ourselves and surround ourselves with those who can help us. Lord, we want to leave a legacy, Lord, that says that was a man, that was a woman, that was a person who pursued God, starting in youth by your grace, but especially as we got older. And so may we finish the race well that you've set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, in whose name we pray. Amen.